Hello and welcome to another episode of the Full Force Weekly, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me as your host, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. For today's episode, I'm joined by the awesome Patrick Not Picard Stewart. In this regular video series, we round up all the week's news in the world of G.I. Joe. What is it, Pat?
It's a Full Force Sleepy.
Hello and welcome to the Full Force. As Pat said, it's a sleepy one today because neither of us have had any sleep, really, have we, mate?
I'm very tired. I think I am hitting about 3.5 hours last night.
I definitely slept more than that, but the week has been so ridiculously intense that I needed about 20 hours and I didn't get it. So, yeah, welcome to the full... It's going to be a really low energy, low stakes episode today. I hope everyone's cool with that. Pat, did what was your idea, Pat, when we were talking off camera? What were we going to do?
Just go back to bed and just talk from there.
Hey guys. Oh, amazing. Yeah, slap yourselves, says RKW. That's a good idea. Yeah. Whew. Okay, we're in energy pump. We're there.
Mountain Dew. Ooh.
You've got Mountain Dew. I have there's a little ghosty cup full of tea, so there's some caffeine in this, ever so slight amount of, it's green tea, so there you go.
Okay.
That cheers. Has caffeine in it? A little bit.
Okay.
That should get us through. In bed with walkie talkies would be cool, actually. Class pro. Yeah, that would be. Talking Joe Mark says, I've had such a crazy week. I'm still working on a ruddy Saturday, so I'm in with you guys. Oh, mate, that sucks. Working on a Saturday. Bumsies. Although you've got to work today, haven't you, Pat?
Oh, yeah, I do. So, yeah, we can't run 3 hours today. That's just not going to work. You might be able to, but I can't.
Oh, I'll just keep it going for months. Not a problem at all. Yeah, the Full Force Weekly silent episode where you just show slides and video clips. That's actually a good shout, Jamie. We should have done that this time. It should have just been like...
That would be fun, where we don't see anything. We're just like...
pointing at things. Anyway, that isn't going to happen today. It won't be the silent issue. This isn't episode 21. But we have got a little bit of news for you. We'll start in the comics realm, Pat. It's Comics Burst news time. Da, 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 da. It's such a banger, that one as well, isn't it? Anyway, yes, comics news. So, Skybound have announced plans for the next two miniseries following Duke and Cobra Commander on Thursday as Scarlet and Destro. They also revealed a batch of covers and previews for both first issues that are set to drop in June. Scarlet will be written by Kelly Thompson with art by Marco Ferrari, and Destro will be written by Dan Waters with art by Andre Bressan. You can expect Scarlet to hit stores on the 5th of June, with Destro following closely behind on the 17th. Now we've got like the previews as well here to kind of check out, and there isn't a lot. I wouldn't say there's any kind of spoilers necessarily in these previews, other than we do get some introductions with characters. Obviously, some of the covers on Scarlet showing Jinx there, obviously on that main image that we've got going on there. But we'll have a look at those Scarlet covers first and foremost, Pat. Are you happy to see that Scarlet's getting a miniseries in this kind of run of Skybound?
I'm kind of happy with the fact that whenever you look at like lists of comics now throughout history, some of the major G.I. Joe characters now have titles of their own. Mm. It kind of gives them a little bit more of the treatment in the comic book world as their own individual character. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, because I mean, Snake Eyes was probably the first to get that, wasn't he? I would say because when he was leading the was it Snake Eyes and Ninja Force was kind of took over.
Yeah,
a real American hero a little bit, didn't it? But yeah, totally. And yeah, you're right. This has happened. You know, Scarlet's had her own issues now. What she had Scarlet Strike Force, which I mean, the less said about that, the better, I would imagine. But she's had. Kind of her titles before, but it's not like, it's nice that we're getting these little mini series. I like this mini series kind of idea, you know, like little segments that all like in the same universe kind of link together, but are all kind of highlighting certain characters.
Yeah, I think that we talked about it before. It takes a little bit of the pressure off of that first issue once they're, you know, of everybody being all together.
Yeah, that, definitely.
You know, at this point, you do run into the problem of having so many characters that they don't necessarily get all their proper time. And then wondering, you know, what the backstory is of each one of them. I don't know. It's a different approach. And I appreciate that this is a different way of entering into a main G.I. Joe comic again.
Definitely. I wonder if we're just going to get miniseries until all 735 characters are covered. That'd be funny, wouldn't it? Could you imagine, like, by the end of, like, in a couple of years' time, it will be Downtown and Ice Cream Soldier getting their own? You don't think that's going to happen?
No, I don't think that we can look forward to Topside issue number one.
Good shout. Shout out to our realtor, who is Topside as well. That's amazing.
Right.
Anyway, amazing stuff. Right. Yeah. So these covers look great as well. Actually, I love that Jinx one where it's kind of like, it kind of looks like one of those, it looks like a movie poster, the one on the right, where you've got different sections, like different elements probably taken from the storyline. You've got the helicopters up the top left. You've got the kind of ninja, almost like in like Ninja Ku uniform, I would probably hazard a guess to say, Pat. Do you think they might be pulling out a bit of Ninja Ku there, or do you think it's just going to be Arashikage ninjas?
I don't know. I would assume Arashikage ninjas.
I would love it though if they did a little nod to Ninja Ku, whether it's in like a single character or like a, you know, the fact they're all in black, I think would be kind of cool if that, even if that is the homage, fine, but it'd be great if they kind of called it out in the issue a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, if they have like their plan for the entire story set out so well that they can start incorporating some of those smaller things. I mean, it's not like if you did those it's not like there's a lot of expectation for what you need to do with Ninja Ku. You probably could just incorporate them as another ninja clan very early on, and I think everybody would be okay with it.
Yeah, that's cool. I could see it being, like a couple of rival clans and the Arashikage just wipe them out or something. Right. I could see that being, something like that would be kind of interesting. Yes, that is a really, a lot of people have mentioned this. Shout out to, I think, Ryan. Ryan Daly and a couple of other people in previous, I think when I posted these covers on the socials, pointed out that there's a crossbow bolt in the A in Scarlet on the
Oh yeah, that's cool.
I suppose the title logo, which is a really nice touch, isn't it? I kind of like that. There's these nice little touches, even on something as simple as the font for the lettering of the comic. I love that. Nice touch.
Yeah, it is really nice.
Of course, Jinx is going to be in this one, it would appear. And also, these are some pretty impressive covers as well. The motorcycle. I mean, Scarlet's kind of quite well known for her motorcycle appearances now after Rise of Cobra.
Rise of Cobra?
Yes. I can just see there's one bit in that chase when she's on the motorcycle in the movie, and she cuts across some traffic, but it's from a distance shot where I think the Arc de Triomphe is in the background.
Yeah,
and she's small, but they've CGI'd it, and they kind of have a like pinging between cars and like bouncing off the hood of another car, like. But it's so badly done, like it looks like a car. It almost looks like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where there would be like a bit of animation on real footage. You know what I mean? Do you know what bit I mean?
It never looked good. It was rough. I mean, hearing the director's commentary where Stephen Sommers is like, "Yeah, this doesn't look real good in some spots," was a little bit liberating for me.
How funny is it when they were in the Delta Six accelerator suits?
What's that accelerator?
And you. What's that accelerate? You. when they dive through the bus, which is like crazy dangerous, and you've put loads of people's lives at risk straight away. But they carve that in half, and there's a shot where if you slow it down, you see the face in the helmet. It's done so quick that you don't see it in passing. But when you slow it down, there's this terrible CGI face, kind of like that. It's terrible. Try and stop that at the right point. It's hilarious. Anyway, that's by the by. And of course, yes, UK, Quarrel and the Ram. That was also, probably not an homage to that, but it's another kind of tenuous link to Scarlet with motorcycles, isn't it? But I love this one of her just jumping over some exploding car. That's really cool. And that one on the right's nice as well, with the kind of like almost like the action figure explosion background and everything. Really, really nice covers for Scarlet. Which one's your favorite pat out of those four?
You know, I tend to just default to the A cover, whatever that may be. Like, that's what I feel like I should really be trying to collect. That anything else feels like it's, an alternative, but there's no way I can't afford. How many issues of the first copy have there been now?
So they've done.
I think 20... I saw somebody post all of them that had been released so far, and it was like 60 issues.
Oh, it's a lot of covers. It's a lot. But you've got kind of, what's the word? Multiple reprints of issues as well. So that, and then they have variant covers, but then they also have variant A's and B's, and then like store exclusives. That has kept going. Well, with all the reissues, like 120. There's a lot.
I guess if I were to pick, I'd pick the explosion back one. Ooh. Or the one that you were talking about that looks a little bit like a movie cover.
Yeah, the Jinx one.
Bottom. I do like that one. Yeah, with Jinx.
I think I like that one because of Jinx and because of all the other things going on that kind of makes me go, oh, I can't wait to actually read that and see what the storyline is. But of course, we do have a little bit of preview for this one as well. So we see Scarlet approaching a little like a kind of little like late, almost like a... Not an island. Well, I suppose it is like an island in a lake, kind of like very, expensive looking kind of house on this tiny little kind of like inlet or like lake island. So she's approaching that in Monaco, it says. She kind of pops out of the water there, as you can see. And she's wearing like this kind of, I suppose, like a diving, like the wetsuit and everything. So she's rocking something completely different at the moment. And then she takes that off, and she puts the party attire on. This reminds me, it's like a really fun homage of Commando when Arnie boats up to the island in Commando, like in his underpants, and then he puts all these gear on, and he's like putting the, pistol in and the grenades, tying them to his top, and putting the grenade launcher and all this kind of stuff. And then here's Scarlet, just literally party dressed to the nines, but also pulling the pistol out.
A little bit of True Lies from it.
Oh, yes.
With the scuba gear and then the party attire.
Yes. And then they start the dance. Oh, my God, that is a great shout. I mean, it's a classic. You could definitely say this is a spy military sort of trope, isn't it?
It is.
The kind of like sneaking into a party, but having to do it like this more often than not, which is odd, but it's really cool. Nice way for her to enter the party. And then we get inside the mansion, and it appears that she's after there's an Arashikagi connection here. She's looking for some sort of connection with the Arashikagi. And then, as you see there in the bottom right hand panel, I'm gonna say it's probably Jinx, but it might not be. It might just be another Arashikagi member.
I would assume so.
You'd assume it's Jinx. And her Arashikagi tattoo is on a thigh, as you can see there.
Yeah.
Interesting. I like that. So there you go. That's the kind of... I think that's all we have for the Scarlet issues in terms of the previews. But does this kind of like... Does this intrigue you into reading the rest of this issue, Pat?
Yeah, I mean, I like the setup. Like you said, it is kind of a trope, but it's not one that I'm tired of.
Totally.
So
I do like there's something really cool about the infiltration stuff, isn't there? Like the G.I. Joe's had this really good track record of doing infiltration sort of kind of like intros. Obviously, the movie springs to mind with Pythona and how brilliant that is.
Yeah.
We've seen this before in, you know, in G.I. Joe comics as well. And I can't think of the one off the top of my head. Oh God, there was one I had and I've completely lost it now, but there is, they have done this before, but again, you're right. It's like a trope that you don't really get tired of seeing them do. And I'm also interested to know where this is happening in the timeline, because we don't get any kind of information as to where this is happening. We don't know if it's following Duke and Cobra Commander. We don't know if it's kind of like a prelude to that. We don't know if she's talking to G.I. Joe at this point, or if she's talking to Colonel Hawk or the team, just like a regular military team. We don't really have that information, do we? So, yeah, I'm interested to see where this is going and where it lines up in that kind of, timeline. But, yeah, all really cool. Then, of course, Destro. Now, we do have a little bit of a possible sort of classified preview. It might be a bit of a stretch there, because obviously artistic interpretation for certain characters, you have to take that into consideration here. But they are following the classified designs very closely. And this cover has Iron Grenadiers on it, Pat. And I know that, like I said, there's artistic interpretation, and there's, of course, you know, you can kind of expect to see what you're going to see with the Iron Grenadiers. But do you think this might be a little preview of what to expect with them for classified?
Well, yes and no. I don't really expect the Iron Grenadiers to be that different in appearance than the original Iron Grenadiers.
Right, so right.
It's kind of a cheat to say yes for that reason. But sure. I guess is the shorter version of saying that. Sure.
Like, sure is actually like longer than yes.
I expect them to look like the originals.
Yeah.
There probably will be some minor changes, but the Iron Grenadiers came pretty late in the line, and they were pretty well refined by that time as far as the style of G.I. Joe. Maybe you'll see something with the sword, or, you know, that it would be removable or something cool like that, but I don't really imagine him being all that different.
Yeah, we get a lot of bats in this one as well. Oh, massive shout out to Zartan, thank you so much for the super chat, really appreciate it. Every schmuck in G.I. Joe is getting their own comic and still no Zartan solo series. This is an outrage. The people demand Zartan. The people, or just you, Zartan? No, that's actually pretty cool. I think, to be honest, we've had some good Zartan kind of special sort of storylines and stuff, but I think a Zartan kind of mini series is definitely one that I could see Skybound doing following some of these. Pat, would you agree?
For sure. I even wonder where all of this is heading, because obviously it's leading into G.I. Joe, but what happens whenever we're at issue 75 of G.I. Joe and maybe they want to do a little more Zartan because that was popular? Or, you know, could we get Zartan number 9? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
How long are they going to carry on the individual characters? And even if they stop, that doesn't mean that they can't do more issues later.
Yeah, a miniseries is a miniseries. It can be happening during the main kind of series and all that kind of stuff. So I agree with you. Especially if you put a different title on it, then you're back to number 1 and you're just doing 1 to 5, and then it's that can happen in and around a G.I. Joe ongoing.
That's true.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. But yeah, Zartan, we're on. Thank you very much for the super chat. We really appreciate it.
I would assume Zartan on the short list, wouldn't you?
Yes. I was actually going. That was going to be my next question after we talked about Destro. But let's do that now, Pat, while we have that kind of fresh, because I will forget at the end of this. But who do you think we're likely to see in this mini series format before we maybe get to the G.I. Joe ongoing?
I mean,
is there an obvious one?
To me, it's, well, Snake Eyes is the obvious one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Lightfoot is the obvious one. God.
There's so many of them, though, that we could get. I mean, do you think we'll get a Roadblock?
I want to say yes. I think Roadblock is definitely on the cards because it's going to be your kind of core characters, isn't it? It's going to be the core character hump. But I will say, though, as far as core character humps go, I'm down for this at the moment. Like, I've been like,
say that.
Do you know what I mean?
It's not like this is another figure with a big head, you know? It's comics. We haven't really gotten anything handled this way. I say that, and then, you know, one of the issues will come out, and every character will be drawn with a huge head.
It'll be a Funko crossover. Oh, my goodness. That is hilarious. Oh, goodness me. This is what I'm talking about, Angela. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, that's next. 100%. Sorry, that had me. Ryan says, Roadblock, Zartan, Falcon, interesting, Baroness, Storm Shadow. I do think there are probably options there, Ryan. I think Falcon might be a stretch, believe it or not, for me. I don't know.
It might be a stretch, but that's, again, like, if we get to a point where some additional characters are being introduced, could they just be introduced? You know, at issue number 90, could you want to introduce a character and just introduce them in their own story before you put them in the main title? Yeah. I think you could.
Yeah, I'd be down for that. If the format was, you know, an ongoing arc, that then every now and again we would get character introductions in their own little miniseries, that would be great, wouldn't it? And that those miniseries could intertwine into the main story as well. And you could almost read it in that order. Like, you know, say Falcon issue 1, G.I. Joe issue 52, Falcon 2, 53, 54, Falcon 4, that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you'd, as long as the main title still makes sense to readers. Yeah. And then you just get more out of it whenever you read the miniseries. Yeah, for sure. I think that's a fine idea.
Here's a good shout from Pastor Pierogi. A Mindbender one would be phenomenal, wouldn't it? Because you could really get into some amazing stuff with that, I think, visually as well.
Some really weird stuff. I guess the only only dangerous thing is that sometimes the appeal of a character is the unknown, you know, the Boba Fett kind of thing.
Yes.
And if you know too much about them, it can be tough. Like, you know, there's a possibility we could get into G.I. Joe without finding out too much about Snake Eyes, because I do feel that most of the time, whenever G.I. Joe is retold, the thing that makes it makes the Snake Eyes story not as appealing as it originally was when our Larry Hama was laying it out was the fact that there was a lot of mystery.
Yes.
And it was told over a long period of time.
Yeah.
And that gets so lost when it's just, you know, G.I. Joe Resolute, and within this first hour and a half show, we're going to tell you exactly how we see the backstory. And it's a little different than last time, but getting
not enough
against isn't that fun.
I know exactly what you're saying. I think that's spot on. I think the reason we accepted Snake Eyes' kind of backstory back in that Marvel run was because it was, you know, drip fed to us over a long period of time. And then you're right. As soon as we get the core character hump, they have to force all that narrative context and all that kind of stuff into a small amount of time. You know, like, we didn't know about the whole Firefly, we didn't know about the whole Zartan situation, did we, until later on? Then the Baroness finds out that, you know, she's been like on this kind of like revenge tip for so long, and it wasn't even his fault so you get all these kind of like things that spread out over a really long period of time. And you're right, when it comes to the core character hump and having to like explain the backstory in like five issues, it's like cramped together and it doesn't feel right.
It
takes the mystery away.
Totally
right.
Important.
Absolutely with you on that one. So we've gotten some cracking cracking options from people. Rachel says Mindbender, Cesspool, Headman, Claymore and Rumbler are two more that she said that are amazing. Wild Weasel has been mentioned multiple times. RKW and who else said it as well? Someone else said it earlier on. Alexander the Great.
The LARP team. I like that idea too.
Also,
again, down the road, you know, as he says, because it's one of those things that's you know, you don't want to have things too condensed.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the thought there from Windblade. If they do a Dr. Mindbender, will it be about his days as a dentist? And it's that would be the whole miniseries would just be him on his daily dentist kind of situation until the last episode where he just gets called up by Cobra to come in and you know, do some gross stuff. Imagine that miniseries, just day-to-day dentistry. That would be it for 5 issues. Slaughter would be a good one, but I wonder how that works with all the other license issues and everything, you know. Like, I think it would be a conversation with the Sarge, but and I'm sure Skybound would probably even attempt it if they knew it was on the cards, but that would be for them to have to deal with two different license situations.
That could be a fun one to do though, whenever you have the Sarge, you know, available to give input and eager to do so if he was, you know, that would be a really worthwhile one to do.
I agree, actually. I think it would be brilliant. Someone mentioned there Slaughter and the Marauders. I think it was Eben mentioned that. Yeah, like that would be really cool. Diana says, I'm not sure the Long Range Recon Patrol team will exist in the Energon universe. That's a good point because, yeah, it's a bit of a distant kind of... Yeah, it's a bit far away, isn't it, to make kind of sense from a timeline perspective. But maybe there could be a Long Range Recon Patrol in a different war, like, you know, the like kind of like Middle East or, you know, that kind of situation. I don't know. Well, they'll have to, I mean, that'll be up to them, won't it? But I think there might have to be a little bit of rejigging around that to make sense.
Yeah, that's kind of where we're at. A lot of that needs to be reworked, but...
Yeah,
I agree with you. You could make it be, I mean, it's a fictional world as well.
Leon says Sarge would have leaked it by now if he was in a comic.
That's true.
That's amazing. Dr. Mindbender versus Ice Cream Soldier miniseries. Tac-Tac, I like that. That's genius. As if he's helping him with his dentistry because he's been eating too many ice creams. I like it. Anyway, Destro. Let's talk about Destro quickly. So we've got a couple of covers for Destro. I will say as well, we also have covers for Destro and Scarlet that are spoiler alert covered. So obviously I'm assuming it's either information, it's covers that reveal what's happening in the issue, or it's characters that haven't been shown off in the Classified series yet, because that has happened already with a possible Nemesis Immortal reveal on the Cobra Commander cover that has been blacked out. So I think we're getting spoiler alerts, Pat, for some other issues. But again, these are coming out in June, so it's very likely that we'll see those reveals over the next couple of months going into Yojo June, or if, you know, more likely during Yojo June, would you say?
Probably, who knows? I don't know how they plan things out anymore. I'm not very good at predicting it.
I'll stick to the predictions on this one. Mark says, certainly there should be some sort of backstory where characters know one another. Stalker hinted in issue 2 of Duke that a friend taught him some fancy kicks. Nice. Good context as well there, Mark, as well, to kind of delve into. Anyway, going along with Destro, we do get another nice cover as well there. I like that kind of almost like Archer intro sort of cover. I forget the art style that this is kind of called, but where it's all blocked out and then some of the blocks line up together and some of them don't, but they all kind of, you know, almost like a collage or montage collage or something, but it's really cool. I like that one. It's nice. And again, we're getting what looks to be here, Pat, in the kind of preview, something that has been associated with Destro and Mars for a long time, and the Iron Grenadiers, actually. This is called out in the Iron Grenadiers file card, but the kind of usurping or the kind of like coups of governments and stuff like that, kind of overturning governments and helping like other groups in that country take over the government with their help, including, in this case, it looks like a lot of bats thrown in. Like from Mars to help out here.
Right. I mean, this seems like he'll probably be provoking things.
Yeah.
Along the way. So that's kind of just what I'm expecting from the story.
I don't know. I kind of like the fact that they, this is something, obviously, like I said, that Destro and Mars and all of that kind of thing, we've seen it before, like I said, in the Iron Grenadiers file card, where they, you know, they get into governments and they do this kind of stuff and they overturn it and they kind of just basically to take control of certain, you know, whether it be kind of militias or or the actual country involved, and so they maybe can move around without too much issue. You know, they can do their criminal kind of underworld stuff without any kind of issues going on. But we do get like a lot of nice battle android trooper stuff in this preview. And again, not necessarily a reveal as such, because we've seen the bats have been in the classified series now for ages. So it's not like, you know, we're getting spoiled here. Again, another issue that does it intrigue you in the same way that the Scarlet issue did, to kind of read on?
I don't know. Like, honestly, that intro that we've already seen for Scarlet may be a little more appealing to me.
Yeah. And then we get, this is, a lot of people are talking, they're saying, do you think this is Miles Mayhem in here? And I don't know. I doubt it would be. I doubt they would be going like mask, like crossover straight away.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but boy, does it look like him.
It really does, doesn't it? Like straight up. Mark says, typically we only find out spoiler cover reveals the week of release. That's good to know, Mark. And that's actually, other than that one guy who got all the art sent to him in that video, and one of them was the whole five kind of connecting covers, which revealed quite a bit actually on that Cobra Commander side. But yeah, you're right. The actual official reveals are much closer. So I would imagine if there are spoilers for characters on some of these covers, that we'll see those during Yojo June, and that just makes sense to me. It does look like Miles Mayhem, though, guys. A lot of people think it might be. We'll find out, I guess, in June. I'm really interested, really intrigued with where they're going with these minis, and I can't wait for the obvious Lightfoot and Downtown miniseries, which obviously are going to happen at some stage.
Oh, for sure.
And
Cloud the Robot, the miniseries. If they do the Cloud. Just like a
like a buddy cop movie.
Yeah.
Just Apsara driving, like sitting on top of McCloud while he's driving around looking for bombs.
Yeah.
Adorable. Absolutely adorable. But solving mysteries as well, because it can't just be about bomb finding. Anyway, I am waiting with bated breath for a Tripwire miniseries, and then get to see McCloud in all his glory.
To be honest, there could be. You never know. I don't think Tripwire would sell that well, but
how dare you?
Who knows?
It would probably sell really badly because of the McCloud. They'd have to put McCloud on the cover as well, and they'd have to put the name underneath it, and it would just sink. It would be like there'd be one copy sold, and it'd be to me, and everyone else is just like, yeah, I'm leaving this one. Anyway. That is comics news this week. Let's move on to quite a lot of classified stuff to get through, so let's get involved in that. Yo! Yes, we are dealing with classified. It's been a busy week yet again, with teasers for pre-orders, sneak peeks at upcoming product, and none of it was sneak peek, and items starting to ship already. The Quick Kick Airborne Big Boa Techno Viper Wave has been moved up March the 21st now. Shipping notifications for the Vamp have started to hit email accounts up and down the United States. And we had not one, but two teasers for pre-order drops on Entertainment Earth's Drop Zone page. March 14th could be for the Transformers X.G.I. Joe Collaborative Cup Triple T with O-Ring, Sergeant Slaughter and Leatherneck, as that listing has been leaked for a while now and lines up with the text in the teaser for that particular drop. April the 4th looks very much like a classified reveal and pre-order, but we will have to wait and see what that could be. Finally, we also had a sneak peek at the Walmart Collecticon G.I. Joe Classified Night Force Jason Shockwave Faria with Night Pursuit set, which will be going up for pre-order on either the 14th or 15th of March. But if I'm a betting man, probably the 14th. Now, first off, though, Pat, let's talk about, just quickly, we don't have to go into loads of detail here, but movement in Hasbro's shipping and when things are coming in and when pre-orders are getting charged and all this kind of stuff. Now, I know in the past it's been one of those things where it's actually quite a bonus if it's changed, you know, but a lot now, kind of nowadays, there are so many pre-orders that people have to kind of juggle with. Do you think it's actually better that they stick to, you know, some of the delivery dates?
Well, for the most part, yes. I do think things have been a little bit quiet, you know, for a little while. We did have a little bit of a breather. Emily said that this year wouldn't be as packed as it was last year. And so far that's been true. You know, I think that we have experienced that already. So something moving up isn't the end of the world. I just hope that it isn't, you know, one on top of the other. We don't just start compounding it. I know for me, I just have been avoiding pre-orders. And part of that is because you just feel that financial guilt or stress twice if you pre-order. It's like once when you're like, oh man, look at the money I just spent, where you click the button, and then when it bills, you feel it again, even though you only paid for it once.
Pay for it once, pay for it twice. I like that. That's correct.
I definitely feel that. And I'm confident I'm going to be able to find most of this stuff. Techno Viper, maybe not. But that's why I did pre-order that one.
Okay. That's a good shout. Yeah, because obviously Army Builder, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I have to admit, like for me, I'm in the similar boat in that I'm also trying to put a weapon in Anil's hand at the moment, if you're confused as to what I was doing multitasking wise. I don't know why I'm doing this, but it's just in front of me, so it's happening. I'm in the similar boat with you in terms of pre-orders. I tend to just kind of like avoid that and just, you know, it as and when in the future they're available in other capacities, I will kind of pull the trigger then, so that I know it's an amount that I'm controlling. It's like I can pay for it now, that's great, it's being paid and I'm getting it now. It's not one of those things where it's like I'm paying for it sort of months ago and then all of a sudden I'm hit with a, you know, a big amount going out. I just don't want to deal with that anymore. I don't want to be in that kind of situation. I totally with you on that. But I feel like I kind of like it when the stuff gets bumped up, so we get like, you know, it kind of comes a bit closer, like the date is earlier, because it means that, you know, that's scratched off, we can move on. But there's the other aspects to this as well. Like it might be moved up in the US, which is exactly what's happening here, but then people in the UK now are getting things really late. It's funny how like the UK were getting stuff almost before they should be coming out, and Canada would get some stuff early, and then the US would always be like last. And I found that kind of interesting. And obviously there was a big kind of furore about that. And it looks as though they've, again, in trying to correct it, they've maybe overcorrected it to the point of like people waiting months and months and months now in other countries for stuff. There's definitely like a balance to this that they just can't seem to really get right.
Well, I mean, it's hard to manufacture something in one part of the world and then have simultaneous release all over the world without spending tons of money on storage somewhere.
Yeah, so very true.
I think that it's not that realistic to think that they will all hit at the same time. It just gets really annoying to me whenever those are like 6 and 8 months apart. Figures like Outback, I think when that one hit, I think I got that in like 8 or 9 months.
It seemed
like everybody had it in hand.
Yep.
You know, it felt like everything that I was getting, it felt like I was paying for it twice and I was getting everything almost a year after.
Yeah.
You know, it was old news. Hey, everybody, look what I got. Oh, that's great. You know, not that I'm even doing it for that aspect.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that aspect was one of the things that was no longer, the shared experience was gone.
No, that's a good point, because there is that moment of you get something in, you take some pictures of it, you share it with some of your mates in your message groups or whatever, and you want to all be doing that. You want to all be kind of talking about it and maybe talking about the figure, but it's not the case. Yeah. Like, for example, our message group with us two and Adam and, you know, again, I'm not going to delve into the secrecy of our, you know, whatever, but we have a message group for the Full Force. I've mentioned it before, and we'll talk about stuff, but oftentimes it's like, you know, Paddy will post something like, oh, I just got this figure in. And it's like, you know, either a month before any of us have it or about 6 months after we've all had it. And it's hard to like you know, it's, and that sucks because Paddy then can't really enjoy the, you know, that, or we can't enjoy that as well. Yeah, it sucks. That does. And I would also add to that, like, there are times when you see a figure everywhere. Everyone's posting about it. For example, like Airborne was being posted last week and he's kind of showing up and everyone's got it. And a few people have it in hand and are showing videos. And I watch all those and I see it. And yes, it's different when you have it in hand, but you almost feel like you've experienced the figure already. So it's like when it finally comes into you, it's like, oh, right, yeah, I have this now, but I've kind of already been, my mind has already been there. And I've already kind of looked at the details and experienced this, and even though you haven't. And I think that's part of the social kind of media aspect of it, isn't it? Like the fact that that experience has changed so much over the years, it kind of has taken some of the edge off when you actually get that figure in hand.
Yeah, and I think that it's also been bad for some of the Tiger Force and Python Patrol stuff. You know, like Dusty, didn't the Tiger Force Dusty hit before the regular Dusty, didn't he? You might think of Recondo.
Recondo did. I think Dusty regular version came out first.
Did he? I think maybe I got them in the other order then.
Yeah, it's, but that's just another thing.
Sometimes the between the two of them, whichever one came first, one of them's getting overshadowed by the fact that the other one's right around, like you're seeing both of them before you even have one in hand, even though it was supposed to be experience one and then wait a little bit and reveal the other.
Right.
You know, it's very odd the way that it's been working.
I totally agree with that. Yeah. I think Recondo has done probably the best way in terms of repaints, even though people were absolutely spitting feathers to, like, saying, why haven't we got Recondo yet? And it's kind of like, he's coming. Do not worry. He is coming. But the fact they did it so they did them really far apart.
They did space and them out.
That's kind of how you want it to be, really. Do you really want to have, you know, like what we've had recently, which feels like the overcorrection of that mistake by having Outback next to each other, by having Tunnel Rat like literally what, months apart? I want to say like there was probably, I'd have to go back and look, but maybe 4 months, if that,
right?
In terms of, like, you know, knowing that Tunnel Rat was there and then having a Night Force one, like, it's like, what? But yeah, like, there's I think there's a balance that isn't quite being found in that kind of arena as well, but again. For me, I'm just like, whatever, man. The more the merrier. Bring it on.
I think we're finally ready for another roadblock. Like, there were way too many roadblocks on top of each other.
There you go. That was a perfect example. Yeah, we had, obviously, and I guess, like, well, we did have the Tiger Force roadblock very recently, Pat. You might be forgetting.
That's what I mean. I think we're ready for that one.
Yeah.
I think it's fine that they're doing Tiger Force roadblock now, But, you know, that's how Tiger Force was originally. It was meant to give people the opportunity to buy something at retail that had been gone for a long time and was a major character. Like Hasbro was finally kind of saying at the time, hey, we need to make sure those old characters get out again. And I think now, you know, if you were late to Classified, you probably have just gotten online and bought one of the other roadblocks. But it is nice that there will be an opportunity to get him at retail now.
Yeah.
Early on, it was just like, you know, too many of them there, especially where there weren't as many figures out at the time. He was a large percentage of the collection.
Yeah. No, I'm totally with you on that one. A lot of people are talking about Ripcord and Crazy Legs now and how I think, the standard versions of those will probably, I mean, I imagine they'll probably come pretty close to the Dragonfly kind of coming out, like when we get those. I mean, I don't know what's coming in terms of those two figures. I just know it's obvious that we're going to get repaints of those and they're
retro.
Of course. So I wonder if it's going to be in that retro sphere or if they're going to do Classified. I mean, it makes sense to do it in the retro sphere, I think, because, you know, it's an avenue to have those figures on those card backs, I guess. Do we necessarily need those figures as well as Classified releases? Probably not. Do you know what I mean? Like, yes, they're Classified releases. What I mean is standard retail versus retro. I think you don't need to have them both in, you know, in both areas, do you? And I think those two could probably work on retro card backs.
I think they could work on one or the other. I don't think they, right. They just don't need to be both necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are two that don't. Yeah, you're right. They don't need to be both. We've already got the, you've already got the reuse out of them. Like, you don't need to do like 1,000 of them.
Just like we don't need a standard classified Recondo.
Exactly that. And I don't think we'd ever get one. But I'm with you on that.
Go Pursuit of Cobra style, do something that would be very different.
Oh, Pursuit of Cobra Recondo in the classified series. That would be amazing. And you could just use Gung Ho for most of that figure. Right. No, that's a joke. That is a joke. But that would be wicked with all of the the psych out style solar panel things and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, that would be so awesome. What was that? I never worked out what that was. I never actually looked into what that was.
I think
that
they were solar panels. I think that's what the point was.
Like powering whatever was on his
backpack.
I don't really
know why. Because, well, he had the trap, like the bear trap on his backpack.
I need to look at the actual file card and see what that was all about. They don't really give you a lot of information on that, though, do they, with Pursuit of Cobra and stuff?
No. Mm-mm.
But there'll probably be something on there that I just missed. And someone will let us know in the comments, I imagine. So these have been bumped up to the 21st. The vamp is coming now, basically. So that's happening, that's literally being shipped as we speak. Excited for this one, Pat, or at least to see it in people's hands. I'm not sure if you're actually collecting the big vehicles.
That's actually a very good question, because I don't know if I want to say excited.
Terrified.
It's a vamp. And so it's like one of the things that I feel that if I was only going to have a few vehicles from Classified, this is going to be one. But I could definitely see myself before too long just being done with vehicles. They're so big. I don't have all the vehicles from the vintage 3¾ line. Those are frustrating to me because they break so easily.
Yeah.
And piecing them together, it's just not a fun experience anymore trying to get those. So I've not gone back to do that. I do more stuff with Transformers and things like that that are equally frustrating instead. but the vamp is here. It looks great. And so I'm delighted that they're making it. But I don't know how far into vehicles I really want Classified to go.
Could you think
that 6-inch is good for vehicles. I really don't.
Could you be happy to admire it from a distance then, in this kind of sense? Is that something that say?
I did order one. I ordered a vamp. I'm going to get one.
Cool.
But I don't think I keep on saying don't pre-order things, and then I pre-order a few things.
I get what you're saying.
I probably have 5 pre-orders in right now for Classified stuff.
Yeah.
I have more than that. But it's under 10. It's under 10. Yeah.
Okay, guys, it's gone from 0 to 100 in a very quick time, just like the vamp will in your play patterns. I've got to say, I'm really excited to see it. I'm with you, though. Space is a major issue. Like, when you think about major issues, another character that might get a miniseries in Skybound, by the way. But the dragonfly's coming in the summer. Where's that going? I'm going to have to utilize the other bookshelf for the dragonfly. We're gonna have 2 bookshelves full of classified figures. It's mental. And I'm talking about the big ones.
Like, the dragonfly is going to break people of wanting more vehicles. Like, there's going to be a point where the number of people wanting vehicles is going to dwindle.
I think you're right.
Like pack rats, flight pods, tiny stuff that was tiny in the vintage line is not so tiny in 6-inch, but is manageable.
Yeah.
But I don't think that you need that many. Like, even imagining a shelf of Classified and what you'd want out there, I can't imagine it being populated with tons of vehicles being that appealing. Like, just one here and there to make it pop is nice, but...
And the fact that we've got the rumors of a HasLab Rattler in the summer, we've got rumors of a Thunder Machine and Snowcat retail, or at least not at HasLab
too much.
Level. That's a lot of vehicles, a lot of big vehicles.
It is.
And then you've got the again rumors of a Stinger because of the vamp, and you could throw in a Tiger Sting there, and the kind of the repaint value for the vamp is high, and I could see them doing a Mark II, a Stinger, a Tiger Sting,
Dreadnought Ground Assault.
ground assault, 100%. Like, I could see all of this happening, mate.
Yeah.
All of it. Anyway, it's the thing is, I think there's definitely camps of, you know, vehicles are too big, I can't deal with it. But then there's also a camp of give me more vehicles. And that's the camp that they're aiming at the moment. And then I think there's a group in the middle where it's like, I can't physically take all these vehicles, but I'm buying them anyway. So there's like the camp of not being in it, camp of shouldn't being in it, but are in it, and a camp of definitely being in it. It's like a three group scenario here.
It's just a matter of economics and when that finally breaks. Like, when will people finally say, I'm not buying this because it's too much. I have too many things.
I agree.
But some people said, they're getting rid of things to make space. So who knows?
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Anyway, dude, Walmart Collecticon, sneak peek. It's not sneak peek. It's Night Force Shockwave. Now, this obviously leaked the night before. Shout out to... Thank you, by the way, for sending us the image that I've now very rudely forgotten. But massive shout out to... I'll get there in a second, guys. Was it that long ago? Hyper Shorter from X, Twitter/X. So thank you very much, Hyper Shorter, for the image. It wasn't this image. It was the one of him on the motorcycle. We didn't know it was Shockwave, necessarily. We had an inkling, didn't we, that it was Shockwave, but because of the secondary and the digital camo, but we weren't 100% sure, but it did turn out to be Shockwave. Thoughts on this then, Pat, as a Walmart exclusive release? Because I don't think I haven't really spoken to you much about this other than when answering that question that you had for me in the group.
Yeah, no, I mean, I even said last week, I think that Shockwave is the popular one of the vintage line of Night Force. They're all popular. Night Force is incredibly popular. But Shockwave just seems to be the one that people really like, because a lot of people prefer this one over the standard Shockwave.
Yeah.
So it was just, I kind of expected him to be made quickly. And if you're going to put one of the Night Force figures with a vehicle, I think it's kind of a good choice to get that vehicle sold. There are some of them that I could see people passing on because of the vehicle space and because maybe they're a less popular Night Force character, if that
right.
makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense. Yeah,
but absolutely. this one's going to sell. They're not going to have any problem with this. This is going to be a popular set. I could see this being hard to get.
Don't say that, because I'm in that. I'm not going to pre-order it until I see it. You know, kind of mode, me which too. Is a bad idea, isn't it?
But sometimes it's nice to walk into a place and get it. This one, what is this exclusive to, or where is this going to be?
It's Walmart Collecticon.
Okay, yeah.
That'll be
fun. Walmart and their exclusives, it's still not good.
I agree with you 100%. I will, like, a couple of things on the actual figure. Obviously, it's not all the previous Shockwave build. There are differences on there. I think Scrap Iron's legs, I was told. I'm crap, by the way, at knowing what the builds are, because I don't pay attention to it when the figures come out. And it's only like much later on when people have talked about it and like pointed it out that I actually realize what it, you know, what we're looking at. So, yeah, I believe we've got some sort of a different, slightly different build on this figure. Obviously the same head, cap, secondary. That'll make sense. That's, you know, that makes sense to be Shockwave. Yeah. And I love the fact, though, that they added the digital camo onto the pants and the hat here to kind of make it a little bit more interesting. Because obviously, again, that Shockwave is a banging vintage figure. But they did this with a lot of the Night Force. They kept the decos very basic, didn't they? To kind of like, you know, maximize, I guess, profits with these particular figures. Keep the deco kind of ops a little bit lower. So I'm kind of glad that we've got a little bit of digital camo on this particular Shockwave character. It does kind of add to it being Shockwave a little bit on the classified version.
It does. I think they kind of went this way with the 25th one, which was that actually a Rise of Cobra one?
Shock Blast, Rise of Cobra, yes.
He still had the camo on him.
Yeah, he did. It was Shock Blast, wasn't it? And it was what did he come? Was it a two pack or did he come with something?
It was a two pack. Yeah, he came in. Was he the one with Monkey Wrench?
Yeah. The Chuck Norris Monkey Wrench figure. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and at this point, all the holsters are just breaking off that figure, like just sitting. Yeah. If you sit in a bag, the left holster for whatever reason just falls off eventually with the plastic shrinking.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But
oh, interesting.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of them broken and just sitting around. Like, I'm afraid that if I went and looked at mine, it'd be broken.
Oh, I'm gonna have to have a look at my two pack when I get home and just see what's going on in there now. Yeah. There are all these little things I need to check when I go back to the UK because of these like conversations we have where you're like, oh, that figure's dissolving now in its own goo, and I'm like, oh god, no, is it? I have to check mine. I know like Globulus is also a little bit of a kind of like a bit of a leakage issue on that particular figure, isn't there?
Well, I think there might be some sort of chemical reaction that's happening with the metal and the plastic, and I'm pretty sure that one of the plastic swells. I've seen a lot of globuluses with cracked backs.
A lot of
cracked backs.
Well, that's the problem when you start, you know, manufacturing in Cobra La as opposed to China, then that's what happens, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
There you go. And then obviously you've got the packaged version here. Again, looks really nice. What do you think of the motorcycle? Do you like the deco on that? Probably see it better there, that kind of copper.
Orange. It needs orange.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's Night Force, it needs orange. It's a huge miss without it. I get what they're doing. It's appealing to the crowd that just does not care for bright colors on their stuff. But sometimes modern figures get a little over-subdued, if you ask me. And I get it. To have it actually appeal to people now for the nighttime colors, I don't care. If it's a Night Force vehicle, I want some orange.
Would you have been cool with the orange barrel machine gun?
Yes. That's actually the part that looks like that's where it belongs to me.
Yeah,
maybe somewhere in the tires there or something.
Yeah, like on the where the copper is, you could definitely do orange, couldn't you? And
yeah, and a little bit of glow in the dark. Like, how does that logo not glow in the dark?
I don't know if it does or not.
If I'm going to be stealthy at night, I'm going to wear glow in the dark, right?
I wonder if it is glow in the dark, and we'll find that out.
This is the part where if we did do this, you know, laying down, we should have like our glow in the dark stuff on too.
Yeah, lights out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just literally our lights for our faces could be the glow in the dark figures off screen. God, that would be freaky. Like, it'd be like night vision, like looking at us in night vision. It'd be so weird. Okay, the other thing that a lot of people are talking about here, before we get onto that, because that is a bit negative, do you like the addition of the steel core kind of helmet here to make it like a, because you know Clutch has got like a slip-on like steel core helmet, they've repainted that particular one, so this is going to go over the balaclava head. Is that a nice touch? Do you like the fact they've got like a kind of like a steel core driving helmet sort of thing going on here?
They're using it so much that it's becoming less special to some degree, which is a real danger, I think, but I also don't hate it. If that just kind of screams this is G.I. Joe gear, then I guess it makes sense for the faceless Steel Brigade, you know, this is me as a G.I. Joe kind of thing.
Right.
To just be wearing that. I did I really liked a lot the Anti-Venom Task Force. I loved that team. I loved the idea of making a team of characters that was more than just a repaint, that they were going to get their universal helmet as well.
Yeah,
and I would love to, honestly, I would love to see that again if they did it like an Anti-Venom Task Force as a few exclusives. I'm sure that I probably would be the only person excited, but
I don't know. I like that deco as well on the Anti-Venom.
Yeah
good, some good figures in that set actually, dude.
They like, did
yeah
and that really was one of the few times where some of those six packs actually came with the character specific accessories as well. So
yeah.
That was a good set. But yeah, it's okay that it's with this thing. I don't hate it, but it's not my favorite.
I'm not gonna just, you know, disagree with you for the sake of disagreeing with you, but I've got to say that like I do like the fact that we're getting steel core bits and pieces here and there, because it allows for a very cool display of multiple steel core kind of team. I kind of like that. Like, I like, you know, the fact that you could, it doesn't have to be Shockwave wearing a Steel Corps helmet. It can just be like Steel Corps, you know, another version of a Steel Corps trooper, which I think is what they're trying to do. They're throwing that in there as well to like go, make you go, well, I have to army build these now? What the hell? I think there's a little bit of, you know, there's a bit of gamesmanship here from Hasbro. I think they're putting things in here for army building purposes, knowing that some people will be like, well, I need like a bunch of these now. Some people have even said in the comments as we've been going, I need two of these. Al, for example, has said that immediately right now. But I can see a lot of people have said that in the comments already and in the stream I did before. So it has that effect, not necessarily on you and on yourself or other people. I'm not going to be getting two of these. I'll be happy with just one. But I know it's going to have that effect on a lot of people who see Steel Corps things and are like, yeah, I need to army build this. So I think there's a bit of gamesmanship from Hasbro going on there. But at the same time, I'm glad they kind of included it. I like that aspect of it. Because just Shockwave on the bike, I definitely feel would be missing something if he wasn't wearing some sort of helmet. Not like from a super safety point of view, but like I feel like it makes sense for the motorcycle. Breaker's got a helmet. Duke's got a helmet. No, he hasn't. Does Duke have a helmet? He doesn't, does he? That's dangerous. Tiger Force are dangerous, man. They've got Duke riding around on a ram without a helmet. Son of a... Anyway. Yeah. Anyway. Anyway, well, I like...
25th Shockwave had a helmet, though. Or Shock Blast had a helmet.
Yeah, so it all kind of makes... Yeah, there's a lot of nice kind of connectivity going on here. We've got a backpack in play, Pat, but it is a reuse from Firefly Cobra Island. Happy to see... This is linked to my next question. There's a price hike here. It's gone up in terms of figure vehicle, but they've included a lot more accessories. Now, would you prefer having the figure vehicle at the original price point of like, was it $45? I think it is usually. This is $55 because of all these additional extras. Would you have been happy if they'd have just left the extras off and gone with a $45 price point?
Well, we could be talking about just a price hike with nothing additional to show for it.
We could.
So that's a plus. I do think that it's a better idea to include, if there are people out there who are eager to army build this because there's the additional helmet in there, that's a good way of moving the thing. I think it's always a great idea to have multiple uses of a figure in order to make sure that things don't go to clearance. Because obviously, comparing this to Duke, this is a better value than what we got with Duke. Lot better, in my opinion. Yeah. This is a better release. I like this a lot more. I still don't have that Duke, and I still kind of don't care.
Yeah.
But this one I will probably pick up. I'll be happy to walk into a store and see this. And that, you know, that's the other aspect of this, is the randomness of having a bad day and something. Like, it feels like if I pre-order it that I was more in control of that, whereas if I just walk into a store and it's a happy surprise that something's there, I don't know, for whatever reason I just prefer that.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
Nice to actually get out of the house.
That's, you know, so true.
Even if it's just going to Walmart, it's nice to get out of the house.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, no, I'm with you on that, mate, totally. And yeah, I'm going to say that, like, again, I know there are people that are concerned about the price going up and everything, but at the same time, I don't know. Yeah, there is so much with this. Like you say, the value is there. I like the fact we got the drone again. I love the fact that the backpack is being reused with the drone, so that we got that, like, you know, again, like added value, but then narrative value too. Play pattern value. I know, like, we're all adults here, but I love the thought of the motorcycle, him being on the motorcycle and the drone following them, sort of like, you know, that's, you know, kind of looking ahead for any danger and coming back, and the helmet heads up display links with it. I do have a theory that he might be coming with the tablet, even though it's not shown on here. And I say that because the tablet fits in the backpack inside. And if you look at the image, not this image, but another image later, I'll just go to it now. That image there, it's filled in with what looks to be the tablet. So I'm thinking that we might get the tablet as well. But I also wouldn't be surprised if we don't get the tablet, go inside the backpack. there.
That's from, it fits in from behind, right?
Yes. So if you, I'll show you what, actually.
Like inside the backpack, right?
Yeah, if this is the Firefly tablet inside the backpack. So obviously we don't have the stack bundle of dynamite, which would have looked a bit weird on this particular figure. But also,
yeah,
you do have that bit sticking out the bottom, which is also a little bit odd, without anything attached to it. So yeah, I'm not
confident that it's there, to be honest.
I wasn't either until I saw this image, and then I thought, well, maybe we might get it. It might just be hidden inside the backpack in the package, but we'll see. We shall see. I'm also going to put it on Shockwave here to see how it looks. There you go. He's wearing it. anyway, yeah, so just want to come back to this before we move on, Pat, and that is the only thing I can see on this in terms of homage is the location, and that it ties in with all the other Night Force locations, the cave, the entrance of the cave, the dark energon crystals. I don't think there's anything else going on here. Have you been able to spot anything? Because I haven't seen anything on this.
I don't see anything. No.
They do highlight, this is also interesting, they highlight the patch. So we're getting the patch again on this figure. We're getting the Griffin holding a light over the globe patch that Big Ben and Tunnel Rat have had. They're also highlighting the logo, the Night Force logo. I'm almost convinced it's glow in the dark now. And I know it probably won't be, but I think that'd be a nice touch if the Griffin and the logo were actually glow in the dark. I think that'd be a really cool touch.
It would be. I mean, if they only had glow in the dark stuff on the vehicles, I think that would be fine. But since we haven't seen any glow in the dark stuff so far on anything Night Force, I don't think that they do.
I love that comment by RKW. Sandar is there, you just can't see him totally.
We see him, we just forget every time.
immediately forget that he's there. Oh, there's Sandar, forgotten. Oh, there's Sandar, that kind of thing, but like goldfish. Leon has asked, where have all the Easter eggs gone? Well, on this one, yeah, they're starting to minimize that a little bit. We didn't get many Easter eggs in the last set of reveals either, did we? We got Easter eggs again, locationally. And I can't believe I missed the fact that the Night Creepers on the Statue of Liberty happened in the comics. I can't believe I forgot that.
Yeah, I didn't remember it either. I did remember them in New York.
Yeah.
But I didn't remember the Statue of Liberty specifically.
Can't believe I messed that up. But I've rectified it since by making a post about it on our socials. But in any case, yeah, those are the only real Easter eggs I could see. And obviously that Night Creeper one was a pretty big one with the Statue of Liberty, but in terms of everything else, we just haven't really been seeing a lot of Easter eggs, and I'm quite surprised at that because they were loving that for the longest time. We were getting all sorts of stuff crammed into the backgrounds, weren't we?
Right. Well, I mean, there's also a bit of commitment whenever you're doing Easter eggs of things that are coming soon.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe things just have to be planned together and given the green light together before you get things like we did with the vamp with, the ferret driver in the background.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. So I can totally see why we don't necessarily have a bazillion Easter eggs.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that one.
They'll probably go back to that. They will.
Yeah. The one that springs to mind very recently is Metalhead's card back that had Norgahyde on the train in the background.
Yeah.
With his hat in the air kind of thing. Like a very, very Deke kind of inspired one there. But anyway, yeah, this was the image that was kind of leaked early. I think he looks really good with the steel core helmet. The bike looks amazing. I think it's a really cool set. I'm with you on that. I think there is value there in the kind of extra price. Of course it's Shockwave, and this was just to show the two secondaries next to each other more than anything else at the time. And of course the drone reused from Cobra Island Firefly and the backpack, and hopefully the tablet, and of course the steel core helmet, as we've already talked about, being a repaint of Clutches from with the vamp. There's a close-up of the motorcycle. This is all stuff we've already covered, and obviously there you go, there's the original Ram next to the new one. Actually, it almost looks as if they've taken the same image and photoshopped it, but it's
kind of does different. But there's no way.
It is slightly different. The angle, you can see the angle difference on the gun sidecar But that's really funny how it's like almost identical in its positioning there.
Yeah.
And then we've got, of course, the Tiger Ram with Duke, like very dangerously riding around without a helmet there. Very dangerous kind of situation going on there. Hopefully that gets rectified soon. But there you go, mate. There's your red. Would you put the Tiger Force barrel on the Night Force one?
That's just actually a really good idea. Now you've finally made me regret not having...
You're going to have to get it. You're going to have to get both to kitbash him. Amazing. Anyway, Collecticon, the exclusive drops start on the 14th of March and also carry on to the next day on the 15th. I imagine this will go up on the 14th. And it might be that both days are just two separate lots of pre-orders. So you might have a second chance the next day. But it's likely they spread it out over 2 days. Anyway, be there and be ready on the 14th. For Walmart Collecticon. Now, as well as that, Pat, we've had these. We'll just talk about these very quickly. What do you think here? Do you assume the same thing I assume here? We're in the middle of a Transformers month in terms of events. 3¾ inches. It's got to be the Triple T, right?
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, there's not much of a secret there. We'll probably also, what is that, March 14th? We'll probably March 12th or 13th see all the pictures of it.
That's so true. That's so true. Yeah, we'll know for sure before the 14th. Let's put it that way. Yeah. So that's then on the 14th, which also interesting enough is the same day that Walmart Collecticon kicks off their pre-orders. So it's going to be a busy bloody day, isn't it? 4 p.m. Pacific, which is what? 7? No.
Eastern, that's
1 p.m.
Right? And then we've got daylight savings time this weekend too. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. So we lose an hour right now, right?
Oh, I can't be losing any hours, Pat. There's already not enough in the day. RKW has asked why not Prime and Mobat? Because the Triple T has been in development longer. So it makes more sense. That's been in development longer than the Prime and Mobat. And the leaked information, I think they came out. The Triple T came out before the Mobat came out in terms of leaked information. Mobat would be following the Triple T. So that's why we are assuming it's the Cup and the Triple T on the 14th. Next one, April the 4th, Pat. Just when you thought you had maybe a bit more time going into Yojo June, find out what this action figure launches before the average Joe. Sign up for an alert and we'll say yo as soon as it launches so you won't miss out. I'm assuming this April the 4th is going to be for the retro figures and the Cobra Ferret and Ferret Scout, but only based on the fact that we've had those renders recently. What would you say to that?
I think that that's a good call. Yes. I'm still eagerly anticipating those O-ring figures to be pre-orderable because there was that brief window on Big Bad Toy Store where they were available and I didn't get that. So... Yeah,
I wouldn't worry about that. You'll be able to get those.
Oh, I know. I just want, like, I say I don't want pre-orders, but when it comes to O-ring, you know, that's or any 4-inch GI Joe. Well, not so maybe any because I don't have the highest stuff.
Are you excited? Are you jumping in on like the collabs then as well? Are you kind of all in on those?
You mean the
Transformers?
Oh yeah, I've gotten all those. Yeah, and I've pre-ordered those as well. I've been excited for them. And, you know, it probably would have been better if I had waited because so far, all of them except for Soundwave have been like half off. There's been some really good deals. So if people aren't pre-ordering those and you're just kind of taking advantage of that, I don't blame you. But for me, I've really liked those. So I'm surprised it's been going as long as it has.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Prime as Mobat may be the last one that we would get.
Yeah, no, I could see. I could see that definitely. Just kind of wary of time at the moment, so I'll just kind of rinse through the rest of it for now. But at the moment, guys, what I'm saying is I think April the 4th for this particular G.I. Joe pre-order might be your retro figures and that Cobra Ferret and Ferret Scout. Just like be based on the fact that that's, you know, we've seen them digital renders. It might be something completely different, but who knows? We'll find out soon. Someone's asked, well, could it be Brawn and not Cup as the Triple T? No, Stephen, the listing specifically says Cup. So Sergeant Cup, in actual fact. So yeah, it's probably very likely going to be Cup. Right. As well as digital renders, we have unofficial leaks, Pat, but there's not really much to talk about. We already know about this stuff. We've actually already talked about a lot of them. We talked about the Snowcat, Thunder Machine, and Retro Cobra Commander already today, which is quite funny. Yeah, and that's pretty much what we have on the unofficial leaked list. Not really much else to really go into there. Like I said, we've done this a lot recently, so, you know, it's all there. Name only reveals. Are there any of these? I don't think we talked about this very recently. Are there any of these that stand out to you? Actually, no, we did, didn't we? I think you
mentioned. We did talk about it, yeah.
Yeah. Who was your standouts on this one?
Starduster. I'm eager to see what accessories he comes with and how he's packaged. Definitely. Alpine, I really think that they need to lean into the accessories on him as well.
Big time. Big time.
Climbing gear. We're kind of looking forward to that. I am looking forward to Frag Viper. Curious how they handle the wings of Nemesis Enforcer. And wish that he was just still called Nemesis Enforcer.
I don't understand this. Where is Nemesis Enforcer copywritten?
There was a video game that used the name Nemesis Enforcer. Yeah, we kind of talked about that. Yeah, it's really annoying because there's no way that somebody wrote Nemesis Enforcer for a video game and hadn't heard it from G.I. Joe. But that's what the problem was.
Damn. Anyway, yeah. But yeah, I'm with you on that. I have no idea what the blooming wings are going to look like. Probably, I mean, you can probably hazard a guess at the leaked covers for Cobra Commander's comics. You could probably argue you probably look very similar to that.
Yeah, there's not a bad one in here. All these are, you know, are going to make for a good figure.
I agree with you 100%. Can't wait for Dial Tone, actually. I'm really excited to see what they do in terms of the gear. And I hope they give the Saw Viper a gun that is actually taller than him. I really do.
You do?
Yeah. I want him to, okay. I want him to hold it and look absolutely ridiculous. Just be like he's shrunk down or something. It'd be amazing. No, of course I don't. I want him to have a properly proportioned weapon, Kitty said.
But he could come with multiples.
Yeah, you could give him a massive one.
Think about how large that original Roadblock gun was. It looked like an energy weapon, which I didn't think was that beneficial to it. But yeah, Saw Viper could have something big. It needs to be a saw rifle, right?
Yeah, just or an actual saw. Just give him a saw that cuts wood. That'd be kind of funny, wouldn't it? That'll be the bait and switch. Anyway, that is name only reveals. I think that's pretty much everything. No, we've got the leaked listings. Nothing's really changed on this since the last time, other than we know that Shockwave and the Ram, or Shockwave and the Pursuit, I just couldn't fit Pursuit in there, are Space Ghost.
I think it's just nice to have this in here at the end, just to kind of give people a snapshot of where we currently are. I think this is a good thing to have in here.
So everything in green is everything we've already had previously and kind of, recent kind of pre-orders. And then the rest of it is everything that we just are aware of or not aware of, as Pat has just mentioned. So that's your update for the leaked listings 2024. And of course, I know that Pat's probably sweating as we're looking at this image. So we'll move on to, finally, it's the share tats. Right then, Pat, go for it, mate.
Shout out, as always, to Philip. It is March, so he and I probably need to communicate about getting an episode up this month. I have not begun on that yet.
Not enough communication going on between Pat and Phil there, obviously.
Oh, we talk all the time. I talked to him a bit last night, which, you know, as we talked, my last night was only 4 hours ago now, or whatever it was.
Oh, mate, let's finish this up for you so you can immediately go to work. Shout out to Kate and Phoebes, of course, wonderful families in the UK and the US as well. Of course, massive shout out to everybody. Love you very much. And of course, to Brian Sauer for our amazing graphics. And also, of course, the head of Assembly Required, which is coming to Iowa. The 13th annual Assembly Required is coming to Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa, on the 8th and 9th of November of this year. And it looks to be Destro Iron Grenadier themed, which is very, very cool. Can't wait to see what all that is about. Then, of course, shout out to Adam Riches, our very own Adam Riches, who appeared on A&E's WWE, too many W's there, WWWWE documentary series for the Sergeant Slaughter documentary. This was at Joe Fest, I think this was filmed at, and he even got on the episode, so that's really cool. So if you haven't checked that out yet, I think you can see it on A&E On Demand, or you can purchase it on YouTube, in actual fact. So they're the two options. You can check this particular episode out. So massive shout out to Adam and the Sarge right there. Did you watch that, by the way, Pat?
I did not. I saw the brief clip of it, of the Adam part with Adam in it, but I've not watched the episode, but I would like to.
Yeah, I need to see it too. I did 100% watch Adam's little clip that he shared, but I haven't seen the episode yet, but I definitely want to. I can't pronounce that because that is an amazing name, and also the font being used is incredible. Guys, I want a link for the remix track that you use in the title cards. It's technically music that I created, so there's no link necessarily for it, unfortunately. But thank you for shout out for the music. We do enjoy the music here, don't we, Pat?
Oh yeah, yeah. For sure.
I see you nodding away in the background. also, shout out to Skeletron. The Wolf Trooper is back in stock. Link in the description, of course. There he is on screen. Pat is showing him off. I'd show you mine, but he's upstairs. Yeah, he's actually in our living room.
More than one of. This is definitely one to pick up at least two.
Yeah, because obviously you can create Skeletron by unscrewing a little bit and putting a different head in, which is really cool. So check that out. Then also, massive shout out to Kickley, of course, as always. Just been absolutely bombarding us with G.I. Joe related sketches. Now, I believe a lot of these are for commissions. The Tiger Force Ripcord one is an absolute beauty. And I think the person who it's for is in the chat at the moment, at this very moment. So that is a really cool one. Do you like that, Pat? Do you like that he's kind of delved into a little bit of unreleased Ripcord there?
I do. I mean, it's neat to see Ripcord in something other than just green.
Yeah, true.
So it is nice to see. And obviously, I've been wanting those Tiger Force figures for a long time, the unreleased ones.
Absolutely.
Yes, this is cool.
The Dusty one and the Desert Scorpions one is a good one as well. And he did that as a video. So he posted that as a video yesterday or the day before, which is really cool to see his process of, you know, like when it's he puts all the line, like the black lines around, you know, kind of the actual characters after the fact. So he paints it and it all looks very like there's like this blur almost. And then he starts putting the lines on, which look really cool. It's a cool little technique. So I like that. So that Dusty and the Desert Scorpions is a really good one. And Ryan's already mentioned this, but mate, I'm on it today. I'm on it. Okay. He's got the Snake Eyes and Scarlet Smooching one, which is a really cool one. I like that. But then also this was posted not long ago, Beachhead, scaling a building and firing as well. That very famous, iconic submachine gun that he has as well. What do you think of those ones, Pat? Fans?
Well, they look great. Yeah, I like both of those.
Very nice indeed. And that's it for the weekly. We got there, and Pat's got about 5 minutes to spare. So sorry, mate. We did well. Wasn't 3 hours this time.
Yeah, no, that's true. 3 hours was quite a long time, but you never know. Maybe I'll have another day off and we can just run on a ridiculously long amount of time again sometime in the future.
That was the record, I think.
I think 3 hours was the record. Yeah, I think so.
We'll never get close to the audio record, which was, I think, over 10 hours.
Was it?
Yep, we did. We did Transformers, and we got the Mapes on, didn't we? And we also did Visionaries. That was a long one as well.
Well, that was you doing all 10 hours. I was only on for part of that.
Oh yeah, I'm talking about the company's record, not the individuals.
Right. But we did. I just meant me and you sitting down. I'm like, I don't remember ever being on here for 10 hours, but maybe maybe I just slept that off and forgot.
Yeah, you definitely did. Amazing stuff. Anyway, good to have you. It's nice to have you back on every week. We'll be utilized. I think 10 a.m. on a Saturday is what we're going to be going forward with from now on, guys. So that's the new slot. It's the new old slot. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us, guys. Thanks to all the patrons. Thanks to all of you guys in the comments. Everyone for the support. We really, really appreciate it. We'll be back next week, of course. Pat, what are you laughing at? Did you see a comment?
Is what did Pat hate on this weekly? Nothing.
Oh, that one. There you go. What did Pat hate on this weekly? And RKW said the RAM. Orange, yeah. I believe, was the hate this week. Anyway, amazing
some
stuff.
Orange on it.
Anyway, stay fresh, cheese bags. And of course, as always, you know what to do after three. 1, 2, 3.
Full force.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on X, formerly Twitter, at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. We've also added a brand new Instagram, so check us out there as well, at The Full Force Podcast. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on any of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/thefullforcepodcast or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.